Morning. A few months ago, I was scrolling through my Facebook feed, as I'm often wont to do, and fell upon a video of a TED Talk by the Nigerian author Chimamanda Adichie. The point of her lecture was to describe the danger of the single story. She gave two examples from her own life of this phenomenon. Growing up in a relatively wealthy household on an urban university campus in Nigeria, her family had a family that worked in their home, including a little 8-year-old boy around Adichie's age. She was constantly reminded by her mother to finish the food on her plate and be grateful for her toys, because this little boy and his family had nothing. So she was very surprised when visiting the boy's family with her parents to take them a gift basket, to see a basket that had been hand-woven by that 8-year-old little boy's older brother. It taught Adichie that having little monetary wealth did not mean you could not be wealthy in other ways, including having amazing artistic skills and talents. Upon leaving for college in the United States, Adichie found herself on the receiving end of a similar lack of perspective. Getting into her dorm room after traveling to the United States, her new roommate from the United States asked, among other things, if she could listen to Adichie's tribal music, knowing that Adichie was from Africa, only to be very confused and disappointed when Adichie pulled out a Mariah Carey CD. She also wanted to hear Adichie speak in her native tongue and was again disappointed when Adichie said that English was one of the languages that they spoke in Nigeria, and that was her native tongue. I have had my own run-ins with single-sided perspectives. Shortly after graduating from the Coast Guard Academy, I was visiting a Unitarian Universalist church near my new duty station in San Francisco. After introducing myself, as we did this morning, as a guest and explaining my recent commission, which I was very proud of, the worship associate responded with, "Well, the Coast Guard are good service," before awkwardly segueing onto the next topic. It was uncomfortable, to say the least, but it inspired me to help educate the religious community I grew up in about my chosen profession. On the flip side, like most people, I've been caught slacking on broadening my own perspective. I'm extremely proud of my service in the Coast Guard, which I've been doing for the last 10 years, and all of the ways that we serve in our local communities. So you can imagine my disappointment and shock when I learned at an educational event that the Coast Guard had participated in a variety of attacks on Alaska Native communities in the 1800s. Including a vicious bombardment on the village of Angoon in southeast Alaska. 6 children were killed in the attack, and an unknown number of villagers died the following winter due to the destruction of supplies. Not a piece of service history I had learned at the academy, but it forced me to re-educate myself and added some depth and honesty to my previously starstruck perspective of my employer. Like all of the creatures who saw the cat in today's lesson, each perspective was correct, but was only a single story. A ferocious beast with terrifying teeth and claws, a tiny speck on the ground, a forest of fur, and a cuddly friend. The fullest picture of the cat was only seen when considering the perspectives of all of the creatures who saw it. I'm sure all of us can think of examples in which we were on the giving or receiving end of a comment or action motivated by limited perspective. It's uncomfortable. I hope that most of us were inspired by those moments to help combat the effects of the single story and to broaden our viewpoint and that of those around us. In a world of fake news and fact-checking, educating yourself and others can seem like a full-time job. But varying your sources of news and nonfiction isn't the only way to ensure you have the fullest picture. choosing to read stories by authors with a different background than yours is another way to gain a different perspective. In a 2013 lecture, author Neil Gaiman offered the following commentary about the importance of stories, specifically fiction, and imagination. And I'm going to read his piece. Quote, "People who cannot understand each other cannot exchange ideas, can't communicate. The simplest way to make sure that we raise literate children is to teach them to read and to show them that reading is a pleasurable activity. You're finding out something as you read that will be vitally important for making your way in the world, and it's this. The world doesn't have to be like this. Things can be different. Fiction builds empathy. Fiction is something you build up from 26 letters and a handful of punctuation marks, and you alone, using your imagination, create a world and people in it and look out through their eyes. You're being someone else, and when you return to your own world, you're going to be slightly changed. Fiction is the lie that tells the truth. We all have an obligation to daydream. We have an obligation to imagine. It is easy to pretend that nobody can change anything, that society is huge, an individual is less than nothing. But the truth is, individuals make the future, and they do it by imagining that things can be different." Albert Einstein was once asked how we could make our children more intelligent. "If you want your children to be intelligent," he said, "read them fairy tales. If you want them to be more intelligent, read them more fairy tales." I hope we can give our children a world in which they will read and be read to and imagine and understand. End quote. One of my favorite modern fairy tales spans a series of books written by the author Anne Bishop. It is a story I return to again and again as a reminder of how one person can impact the world around them. An important lesson in a time rife with conflict and miscommunication. The books are set in a world called ephemera, where the world is directly connected to the human heart. The world in these stories actively manifests the emotions and feelings of the people who live in it. The world is also fractured into tiny pieces, like islands, that are connected by bridges. The twist here is that your ability to cross a bridge depends on whether or not you have an emotional connection to the landscape or island that you're trying to enter. This emotional resonance helps to define the unique collection of landscapes that each person interacts with. Think of a landscape like a community. They can be large, like the city of Long Beach, moderately sized, like a school or workplace or neighborhood, or it could be something as immediate as your home. Each individual is a part of multiple landscapes, but that distribution is unique to each individual, and it changes over a person's lifetime as they grow. Likewise, interaction between two landscapes depends on their ability to connect. Without an emotional connection, there will be little or no exchange between them. We see this in our own world, where communities with no commonality don't interact or are actively hostile towards one another, or where displaced people find themselves uprooted from the place where they resonate and are plopped down in the middle of a place that's uncomfortable, foreign, and strange, without the familiar traditions of their homeland. Whether boundaries are physical or not, most people can instinctually tell where the lines are, having been drawn and redrawn with hard feelings, blood, sweat, and tears. Except that in the fictional world of ephemera, it's all literal. No exchange means that without resonance between landscapes, there's no bridge, and people and things and ideas physically can't move between the two. If a person doesn't resonate with a landscape, he or she can never physically get there. or if already there, becomes hopelessly heartsick. This unique and direct relationship between emotions, the physical world, and a person's ability to move through that world is distilled into one lesson. Let your heart travel lightly, because what you bring with you becomes part of the landscape. This lesson is both a blessing and a warning. It's a blessing because the one who offers it is wishing easy passage to the traveler. It's a warning because moving through the world carrying negative feelings is treacherous for both the traveler and those in the communities they travel through. Traveling while weighed down with negativity can result in never reaching your intended destination or not being able to return to the place you started. Resentment, despair, anger, and fear can harm relationships in our world, but in ephemera, these feelings can also wither crops, sour wells, or increase a community's susceptibility to infestation and disease. But you might say, how on earth can I not feel anything negative? There are bound to be some points in my day or week when I'm frustrated or angry, and I can't or don't want to hide it. You've been stuck in traffic on the 405 too. Sometimes it just makes you want to insert angry, frustrated gesture of choice. And to that, I would offer the not-so-eloquent response given by one of Bishop's characters. You tell the world you have emotional gas and that it should ignore you when you fart. In other words, take a moment to step aside and acknowledge those feelings before they bleed into your relationship with the wider world. From a nonfiction source, Dr. Marshall Rosenberg, author of the book Nonviolent Communication, A Language of Life, describes this as going under the shawl, creating a safe personal space to mutter and complain before venturing forth and interacting with people again. I use Bishop's story as a helpful reminder to take the time to reflect on my needs and desires and whether they're meaningful to my journey. A reminder to live deliberately and with the intention of making the world I live in a better place. I won't deny to having bad days, but I try not to let those bad days take me in a direction I don't want to go. If I'm having a spate of bad days, I try to identify what the source is so that I can move forward with purpose and find my new center of balance. I think that all of us would benefit from a little conscientious emotional tune-up every once in a while. Take 5 minutes. Center yourself. Think about where you are emotionally and why. Then choose. Choose to admit to yourself that you have emotional indigestion, and this too shall pass. Or choose to take that step and make a change. Find the dissonances in your own life and work to make them resonate. Whether through changing your own tune or the tune of the people and places around you. Regardless of the size or the number of communities you're a part of, your impact on the hearts around you has the potential to change them, and through them, the communities and the world. In the coming year, I encourage you to take some time to explore the different landscapes around you and brought to you through storytelling. Are they all relatively similar? Or are they rich and varied? Do you actively seek out the other sides of stories, even if they're hard to find or if they make you uncomfortable? Or are you more inclined to be content with a single story? When you do identify that you're on the giving or receiving end of a single story, do you change how you're moving through the world in order to amend that short-sightedness? It could be as simple as reminding yourself that the person speeding through traffic and who just cut you off may be rushing a sick dog to the emergency vet, or may just really need to use the bathroom. It could also be more nuanced or require more of a commitment to change. Maybe it's educating yourself about the history of race relations within the Unitarian Universalist Association, and deciding how to move forward with that newfound knowledge within and beyond the walls of our religious community. The word story comes from the Greek word historia, meaning finding out, narrative, history, from an Indo-European root shared also by the words knowledge and to see. It is therefore fitting that we use stories, fictional or not, to learn more about the world around us. Stories are one answer to finding commonality with those to whom we might not otherwise connect, because the human story, though told in different ways, is one and the same, and the universal truths weave the fabric of our lives. Closing words by Quaker author Robert Lawrence Smith. Let your life speak. Have the patience to be silent and listen for truth. Then have the courage to let the best that is in you direct your actions. Recognize that your true identity is nothing more or less than the way in which you conduct your public and private affairs, the way in which, for good or for ill, you let your life speak.